Welcome to another episode of Threads of Enlightenment. As usual, once our guests present, it is our honor in accepting them here and welcoming them here to the family. And it, from this conversation, it is our hope that we gain insight so that you and I can become better students and become better human spirits, as I put it, while we occupy this space called the Earth, because you and I are going to change form at some time. But while we're here, we are here to learn so that when we exit this form and we're in the others, we have accumulated some wisdom and some understanding as to why we were here. And so it is my honor that I welcome Judith to Threads of Enlightenment, and thank you so much for coming by.
No, thank you, Ken, for inviting me. It's a pleasure, really, to be here with you today.
Thank you so much.
Have this conversation.
I know. I know you have quite a few and quite an extensive portfolio. And
yes.
I know that you have people can get to you by way of all these classes and stuff. And what I invite people to do once they present, Judith, is to tell me what you have created today, because it's important. I want people to understand that I believe that our creation is a fruit from our journey. It is not who we are, but it's a result of our journey. And so we endeavor to go and dig a little deeper as to see how your journey as to how you create what you have created today. Talk to them. I know you have your private sessions. You have all of these things. Tell them what you have created so far.
Yeah, I have created many different things. As you say, I wear many hats, but it's the result of where life has taken me.
Yeah.
I never imagined that we will be having this conversation. To tell you the truth, my background is totally different than what I do today, that it's my passion. And yeah, I teach people how to, or I help people realize how they can find true love, how they can find their soulmates, because I was in that spot. Mm-hmm. And I read a book and I realized that the concept of soulmates, of these eternal partners that grow together, mm-hmm. and they are connected for eternity, was really fascinating. And I started a quest to understand what was this concept of we all have soulmates, how many. I wanted to demonstrate that the person with whom I was at that moment was my soulmate. And after I became a coach, I started really supporting people through a one-day workshop called How to Find Your Soulmate. Mm-hmm. And really soon, I realized that many of us have problems to love ourselves.
Yeah.
And that's the most important reason why we cannot find this love, because we keep looking outside. Mm-hmm. We understand this concept of conditional love, and we keep thinking that when someone will love us, we will be complete.
Yeah.
And we have forgotten that we are already whole and complete, and we have all the love we want inside of ourselves. And that was the creation of the second main workshop, one-day workshop of Fall in Love with Yourself, mm-hmm. where we dive deep into what is self-love really, and how you can really love yourself no matter what, and conditionally.
Yeah.
And again, life happened, and I was diagnosed with thyroid cancer.
Wow.
And I realized that there is a depth of loving yourself that I didn't achieve.
Mm-hmm.
And I devoted 1 year of my life to try to heal naturally. And I created another workshop at that moment that was Fall in Love with Your Body.
Mm-hmm.
What is behind of our illnesses? What is the relationship with our body? We kind of ignore. Like,
yeah.
We are born in flesh. But all of these things. And as you can see, everything is kind of orchestrated, as you were saying. We have a path, and you don't know what it is sometimes. But I believe that your soul has a plan and guides you towards the experiences and the people that will help you achieve this plan or accomplish your agenda.
Yeah, I had when I was studying faith, and I believe that all of this stuff is a part of that comes into our life. And I remember studying the subject of faith about a year and a half. And I was driving to work, and my sister used to say to me that I'm simple-minded, because sometimes I'd forget about buying the simple things as gas. And so I went to work, and I actually did not put gas in my car. car. And so I'm driving and I realize I'm about to run out of gas. So, and I'm turning to get to the gas station, and my car rolls over to the gas station. And I got there and I am looking for my wallet. I left my wallet, Judith, on my desk in my office. And I stood there, and at the very same moment that I'm having all this beautiful trauma in my life, I see a gentleman on the other side coming into the gas station also with his car on fire, smoking. And he's coming in on one end, and I'm rolling in on the other end. And I sat there and I'm looking at him. I see him in the suit. I hear him on the phone. I'm on the phone calling my dad. I'm like, Dad, to come and get me, because I left everything home. And I'm looking at him. I'm hearing his conversation, Jude. And he is talking about getting to an appointment for an interview. Here I am. I could have gone to him. And I remember sitting there, and the shame and all the other things that I was felt like an idiot and all whatever, all those beautiful language that we call ourselves. And I'm listening to this man's need, and here I am presenting at this time. And if I lacked the courage, because I was fearful, to go to him and say, hey, if you provide me with the gas, $5 or whatever, I'll take you to your interview and even wait for you and come back. And that man could have been a great friend. I don't know. I lost the opportunity because of fearfulness. And the reason why I said that, because you mentioned that all of the things that we do in life come together and help us move from space to space. This topic about self-love, I want to talk about it because it is one of the titles of my book. I have these chapters that I call space, that each and every one of us have to visit, and one of them is self-love. It's the most important journey that anyone will ever, ever, ever embark on their life. And so here you are as you study. Judith, I want to go back a little. Tell me about your programming. When you hit your family life, your brothers, your sisters, your parents, tell me about those things, because that plays a lot about who and how we look at ourselves. Introduce us to Judith, this young woman.
Yeah, I'm from Barcelona, from Spain. Different culture a little bit. And my parents got divorced when I was 4 years, 4 years and a half. My mother told me one day that I was kind of an accident. They already wanted to split before I was born, but I had to be here. Then I arrived.
Yeah.
And I have two older brothers. And my mother remarried, and I love my stepfather. We had a great relationship, but there was always tension, and I'm very sensitive to when people argue. When I'm not going to say that my family was complicated, but it was not peace, and things were not at ease. It was a lot of things going on between siblings and my aunt that was not there in our lives, and things that I didn't understand. Then, as you said, I think that most of the ideas that you have about love come from what you have seen.
Yeah.
From 0 to 7, you don't have any filter.
Yeah.
And everything that you see becomes truth. Everything, anyone that has authority over you, your parents, your priest, the school teacher, whoever it is, gives you messages that you believe that are true. And it's when you disconnect with this idea of that love is within you, because you are born this way. But then you want to fit, you want to get the love. And I think that at a certain level, that became true for me.
Yeah.
I wanted to fit. And I remember when I got married, and my husband thought that my problem was my mother. Because we always had, I love her. I love her. But we always had a relationship where I kind of have to be under. There were no equality there. And my mother thought that my problem was my husband. And it was both. But it was me.
Yeah.
Then it's very funny, because from outside you see that, your life is not working. You don't think like, I have a problem with self-love.
Yeah.
You see the consequences of the lack of self-love. But nobody tells you how to do that.
Yeah.
I hope that when I was suffering and I had these kind of problems, there was there was a worship like the one I have, to give yourself permission to just understand that what you feel is okay.
Yeah.
That feelings are just messages, that people do what they do because they are this way, not because of you. That you can choose love in any situation. And many things that I have learned, as you said, studying, because I love to learn.
But
I mean, I can say that in comparison with many other people and clients that I have spoken, my family was great, but we had many, many challenges, many, many challenges.
So out of those challenges, what were some of those, thoughts that you plugged into yourself and replayed over and over again? And from those thoughts, you looked at yourself based on those. Do you remember of anything? Was it physical attack on yourself? What was it? What was it that you did to yourself that you did not express in loving yourself?
Oh, many things. How much time we have, Ken? No, I'm very analytical and have a lot of air in my natal birth chart, and that's good. And I tend to attract clients the same way because you have capabilities. Yeah. But it's bad because you tend to use your mind against yourself. And I also wanted to be loved, and that equals sometimes to be perfect. Then you don't want to fail. You're so hard on yourself.
Yeah.
You want the things to be in a certain way. You don't take risks because you want this safety and this security. Then your mind tells you things about the things that you want to achieve and you didn't. And you have this perspective of, instead of saying, "But relax, Judith, everything is going to be okay. You're a great woman or great girl. Go ahead and coach you, like, and empower yourself." You do the opposite. You kind of alter yourself at a certain level. And especially because you don't understand. I mean, I remember the first time I started having big headaches, and my mother took me to a neurologist. And the neurologist said that I was so stressed and I was kind of depressed, and asked her to leave the room because we start arguing there. Then she was against my boyfriend, then my husband, and I was really suffering. Then the body always will tell you what's wrong.
Oh, yeah.
If you don't listen and you keep doing the same, there is a moment where there is an imbalance.
Yes.
I don't like to call it illness. There is an imbalance.
Yeah, I agree.
And depending on where it is and what is happening, and then in my case, it was in my head.
Analytical. It could be because you're analytical.
Yeah.
It could be.
And again, things that you learn, I always have been a little bit different than the rest of my family. I think that I chose them because they were giving me like the space to become myself. But my parents think that I'm so naive, that the world I believe in, this world of love, doesn't exist.
Wow.
I will never be. And they want me to be a certain way. And I'm a little bit rebel when you say certain things. Then there were constant messages about how you have to live your life. And you tend to follow. There are a lot of people that want, they don't want to be a lawyer, but the parent, the grandparent was a lawyer or a doctor or whatever it is, or the family business. And you just follow. Because again, we don't have all of us conscious parents. We have the parents that we have chosen here. And there might be a reason why we are all together to explore life.
I think it is to help us to get a, I guess it's to make decisions to see, to steer us a certain way. Mine was, I saw an example where I wanted to be a little different because I didn't have the relationship with my parents. I wanted to have a stronger relationship with my children as a result. So I think it, if we can pull stuff out of it like that, it will guide us in any case, good or bad or whatever. Everything guides us, I believe. And so they are here imperfected, so they're dealing from their space. So here you are dealing with all of these things. And I say to people that thoughts are energy. And when they are bottled within the human being, the human spirit, it will manifest, as you said, in an unbalance. It'll show up in many other I call it dis-ease that is within the human spirit, because it's such a powerful thing that once we internalize it and that we don't give it the space to deal with it, it comes and then it turns and creates all these expressions in our body. We call them cancer. We call them all of the different things that we have names for. So here you are going through all of this. You are in the room. You got this diagnosis. And I want to know, Judems, what was, I know it's usually several, but there's one that will go boom and then you're in it, that started you looking deep about this thing, about love. And how did you begin that journey?
It has been a topic that has interested all my life.
Mm-hmm.
And really, I read books when Erich Fromm, I think I read it when I was 14.
Yeah.
His book about love and happiness, both things. I think because I want it.
Yeah.
And I studied about the difference between men and women.
Mm-hmm.
I read everything I could about the topic, and I'm a romantic.
Yeah.
Really. That's the reason why the concept of soulmate resonated. But again, I learned this conditional love. I love you if you love me, and when we are not together, I stop loving you and you stop loving me.
Yeah.
No, now I have a totally different conception about that. Love is something I choose to. It's my decision to love you, Ken.
Yes.
And in spite of who you are,
mm-hmm.
and all the time I want, because it's me loving you. Yeah. I don't need your love in order to love you. Then I didn't have this.
Talk to me, Judith, about some of those things that you didn't love about yourself, because this is so magnified in us that it cripples us. One of the things that I had to deal with was shame. And I had to really have a conversation with that aspect of my life in order to begin my journey of self-love. When I approached my co-author about this book, she has this statement that she talked about, and it is such a profound statement. She said, self-love is a point of origin. It's not a destination. And that thing, when I heard it, just flipped my whole life. I keep growing from it. But talk to me about your beginnings, some of those things that you had to shed.
Self-love is a journey.
Yeah.
And I did the journey without realizing. Again, mm-hmm. I didn't know that my problem was self-love. From outside, my life was perfect.
Yeah.
I had a great husband,
mm-hmm.
very look wonderful, big house, nice things, a job,
mm-hmm.
well paid. I didn't like it, but people thought that being an interior designer was cool.
Yeah.
I had health. Then in theory, I didn't have any reason to complain about life.
Yeah.
And I was feeling so unhappy. Mm. My soul was so sad because I was going against myself. And going against yourself is very simple. You're asking concretely things that I was doing against myself. For example, abandoning myself in a relationship.
Yeah.
When you lose yourself, your authentic self, you meet someone, you fall in love, and then to maintain the relationship alive, you only see that you kind of diminish until you are not you anymore. You are an appendix of their relationship. Then this happened to me. I like men that are real men, but at the same time, they are self-centered. And that happened with my husband.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought that love was that. Be there and try to work it out. And no, love is something totally different. So love is not sacrifice. Love is not losing yourself and stop being authentically who you are. But when you lose your power, is because there are many things that we accumulate on top of us. We don't know how to release that.
Yeah.
And there is a moment where we call it crisis, but it's like it's too much on top of us.
Mm-hmm.
And we break. Then it's the disease that you mentioned.
Mm-hmm.
Then it's the crisis, or then it's losing something very important for you because you cannot really continue living that way. Then I think that between the self-judgment, the self-criticism, and the whole panorama about other people telling me how I should live my life and not being able to really connect with my power, there was there like a lot going on for me.
Yeah.
To understand that I needed the space to just become who I am and explore.
Talk to me about some of the exploration that you did about yourself. Me, one of the things that I did, Judith, was I took myself to dates. I went to the best restaurants that I could find, and I went by myself. And I remember I used to, my life was in sales, and they tell you about getting the mirroring and all that stuff. And I used to walk around And my kids would tell you, anyone, I would walk around and kiss myself and look at my hands and my color. And just was, I actually really began to fall in love with the color of my skin. And everything about me, it became so flavorful as I began to delve and got inside of me and realized that, okay, this guy is a beautiful guy. And I think the piece that we look for that tends to stop us in our journey, we're looking for perfection. And I tell people, perfection is the enemy to growth. We're not here to be perfect. We're here to grow. And so once you realize that, I believe it gives you the space to grow. Talk to me about some of those things that you began to do to you to help you realize who you are, to fall in love and to spend that.
I think that you have to know yourself better. Yes. We think that we know ourselves because we spend 24 hours in our body, but we don't know who we are. We don't know our needs, our desires. We have never asked ourselves questions, important questions.
Yes.
Then one of the things that helped me at that moment was to study astrology as a tool for self-transformation.
Yeah.
Not as a, like, predicting what is happening. It's like knowing what you come here with. Because your birth chart is just a photograph of how the stars are in the moment you were born, but give you all the talents and gifts that you are going to need for this incarnation. And it was very interesting, but I keep learning and reading books about the spirituality and learning about signs and synchronicities. And again, when you really know someone, when you are with someone and you met, you ask questions to this person and you want more and know more and tell me about you and what makes you happy.
Yeah.
That's the first step in order to do what you say. I go to restaurants alone. Yesterday I went to a musical alone on my own because I wanted to do. Nobody was there then.
Yeah.
Oh, why not? What's the problem?
Yeah.
You did yourself. You're in the best possible company that it's you.
It is a beautiful. I think it is the most important relationship that you need to have. One of the most important relationships.
For sure.
We in our culture, in Western civilization, we tend to use busyness of living to not begin the journey of self-discovery.
Yeah.
We use it from work, TV, phone. I mean, the amount of time that people spend doing those things versus a time with themselves, it's just amazing. Every morning I get up, I spend 15 minutes of mine, personal time. I don't think about nothing that I don't want to. I just relax and just come into my space. Sometimes, and then when I come into there, when I do my meditation, sometimes it's longer as far as, you know, to an hour, depending on how that day is and what I feel based on my meditation. It'll tell me how long I need to be there. And so as I began to learn all these tools, you said you brought in astrology, I brought in meditation, I brought in all of those type things, dancing by myself. I'd get into the house and turn on my favorite music and dance. All of those different things to enjoy the self and to learn about this gentleman, Ken Primus. He's not perfect, Judith, but I still love him. He has a long way to go, and we know it, and we are excited that we have a long way to go, because that means that life is the flavor of living continues. So talk to me about some of this, because I look at your accomplishments, and you have done much study, and you mentioned, you alluded to that. How did this journey take you onto producing, because I know you see the need, but how did it begin, where you began to say, okay, I want to now reach out to people and help them to see who they are and to fall in love with themselves?
Oh, that was like we are taking a quantum jump here, because I just knew that I had to find solutions, and I keep studying. Reiki was another way. Then things start happening in my dreams. Then I did a master in psychology and psychotherapy based in the teachings of Carl Gustav Jung.
Mm-hmm.
And because I needed to understand. And then this soulmate entered into my life through my dreams and through synchronicities. And it was a person that I knew from before. It was my first boyfriend. And many things happened that put me in the path. And I continue. But again, I was going up and down. Mm-hmm. I mean, the level of self-love was a little bit here and then a little bit there another day. I didn't know. And it was life that sent me to the United States, where I moved at the end of 2010. Mm-hmm. Again, I didn't even know why I made a decision so big, like leave my country and came here to find my soulmate and to do a coaching certification. And then when I finished, realized that that was the path and having joy in that. Yeah. I saw myself speaking in front of people since I was a kid.
Wow.
And I didn't know this image where it come from. I mean, again, all these skills of communication were there for a reason. Mm-hmm. They were waiting for me to just realize, but it was life that sent me here. It was like through synchronicities, through repetition, through people being put in my path to take me here. And again, I said, yes, there is a moment where you start learning how to surrender, how to be guided through life instead of you having to figure out everything. That's the power of the mind that we think.
Yeah.
We feel alone because we think that, oh, I have to decide everything. No, I work with the Akashic Records and it's a great way of receiving guidance and to feel safe and secure in the world and know that no matter what you are going through, there is someone out there, call it whatever, this life force, this power that we have also inside of ourselves, this connection with the divine that we have, whatever it is, that will help you in any moment. And life will guide you until the point where I was saying, I knew all the theory about how to love yourself, and I was teaching people how to do that. And when I went through this cancer process that was... Don't misunderstand me. It was not aggressive. I was feeling great. I had a great time to really learn more about life, myself, and what was doing here. But I then decided to put myself first. Loving yourself is becoming your best friend, but it's putting yourself first. And not because you abandon others. It's because the more love you have, the more you will have to share with others.
Yes.
And why are you going to wait to use the best glasses for wine that you have until there is a special occasion? Today is a special occasion.
Yes.
Today is the day to love yourself, to have a great meal. Today is the day to go for a walk, something that I promise in this process. Because I could be 3 days in my house because I was working from home.
Yeah.
Today is the day to meditate. Today is the day to pay attention to your dreams. Today is the day to be like in solitude and just, as you say, sit and be, do nothing, to disconnect, to do things that you are passionate about, that brings you joy.
Yeah. One of the things, when we had started the conversation and I went to that story about faith, one is you talked about it, you alluded to it, is that we call those things in. I was studying faith. That I was curious about it. And so here I had an example showed me that when you are in faith and when you've created that energy, you've loosed that energy, it brings the people in. Here I had a need with my gas, and here's this guy. He had it was perfect. But it showed me something. It taught me that fear, I allow fear to... come in and prevented me from moving forward in that situation. And that is one of the enemies. You talk about solitude. That's a second chapter of my book because it's important to get to that place of solitude. It is a place of power. It is not a place of defeat like people from the programming. I think the collective programming with society, the collective programming in society does not tell us that we ought to love first ourselves. But that is the correct way to love first, because it says the principle that from the Christian point of view is to love your God. And as you love your God, out of that relationship with your God, and you are now learning from love, and you're learning about love, and you are accepting yourself, all your darkness and your imperfection, then you are able to love me regardless of what I do. because you've accepted you and you are the biggest monster within your eyes. And the fact that you can love that, to me, is power. It gives you the power of choice. Yeah. It gives you all of those things that we talk
about. The more you cultivate all of this, the not judging yourself, the easier it is. Not judging others. The more kind you are with yourself, the easier it is to be kinder with others, more understanding and have more patience. But the problem or the origin of all of this is that, again, we tend to think that love is outside.
Yes.
No, you are born with it. Mm-hmm. It's within you. It's around you. It's who you are.
Yeah.
And we think that our relationship is finding the right person for me, where you have to become the kind of partner you want to be with.
Yes.
Then it's all about love.
Yes.
It's just cultivate that and the rest will fall in place.
Yeah, your energy will call those people. I believe that we are all energy that lives in us. And we are housed within a body. And when we start focusing on those energies that we want in our life, it manifests. My background, as people know, I come from the Bible background because I was a pastor. This gentleman by the name of Job said, "The thing that I fear has come upon me." So that means that this energy that he had brought into his life, he gave it permission to do whatever it did in his life. And that's how powerful we are. And that is why I believe society doesn't want us to realize the power of who we are from the internal aspect.
Yeah, but again, we come back to this programming. People look at what's not working constantly.
All the time.
No one tells us how to build a sense of appreciation. To look ourselves through the eyes of love, to be grateful for what we have. No, we see the lack, we see the problem, we see the issue, and we invest all our mental energy, all our power in solving something, but with the same level of consciousness. Then, again, if you have tools, that is what I provide to people, I like to give you what you need to go through life.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter how old are you. It's never late.
Never late. Yeah.
To understand that love is your power. Love is the best way to transform your life, and it will affect every area of your life. It will allow you to manifest the abundance you want. It will change your relationships. It will change who you are, how you organize your life, your health. And again, we don't have to be perfect in this self-love. It's a process. It's an understanding.
Mm-hmm.
It's okay.
Yeah. You need the space to forgive yourself. I when I greet people many times, I've talked to them and said, "Have you forgiven yourself?" And people would look at me and think I was nuts, because I knew that once I say stuff like that, it will pinpoint them as to where it will locate them. And my intention was to help them locate themselves to see, did you ask that question? Yeah, have I forgiven myself? And you had mentioned to it, you alluded to it earlier. We have to ask those hard questions. I remember reading this thing about self-love. You dig, you isolate, you ache. Being alone, you heal, you accept, and you look in the mirror and you see God. And I thought that was such a powerful thing, because that's where we need to be. This relationship is the most, Judith. I simply, this is just my belief. Again, it is the most important.
I think that self-forgiveness is the key.
Yeah.
It's the key to continue and to let go of the past. How many people live stuck in a moment in time where they cannot forgive someone or they cannot forgive themselves?
Yeah.
And I explain people that forgiveness is just releasing. It's not forgetting the events. It's not forgetting what happened. It's not saying that it was okay. It's not telling the other person that, you had the right. No. But you cannot change the past, but you can let it go.
Yeah.
You can decide to be free, to set yourself free, to live a new life, not the old one, a new one. And a lot of people ask me, how do I forgive? How do I forgive myself? I say, it's a conscious decision. It's a commitment with yourself to move, like, next page.
Yes, yes.
And start a new chapter. Nothing has to happen. You don't need the other person.
Yeah.
You just need this commitment with yourself to live a new life. And this is so powerful.
It is
because we don't know where to put this energy. Like, okay, these events happen. okay, it's your story, it's your past, but it doesn't have to be your present or your future.
It is a powerful thing to forgive, and it's the hardest thing that an individual... it took me years, I'm not going to lie, Judith, it took me years to learn the principles of forgiving myself. And once I did, as you said, you go up and down. It's people strive for perfection. I tell them, no, strive for growth. The growth will keep you.
But I don't think it's so hard. I think that we don't know what forgiving means. We don't know the benefits of forgiving. We have this religious understanding of you have to be a good person and you have to forgive your neighbor, your brother, your whatever it is. That's not forgiveness.
Yeah.
I haven't decided. Someone is obligating me to make this decision, but it's not because I want.
Yeah.
We don't know how to release then. We don't know how to let go. Mm-hmm. And what happens is that we take things so personally.
Yeah.
Thinking that others can do things to us. But I'm sorry to say, that's not possible. Nobody can hurt you unless you allow them to. Mm-hmm. What they do is they trigger something that is already within yourself. Then I don't think that forgiving is hard. I think that we have a bad understanding of what forgiveness is about.
Yeah.
It's much easier because there is a moment where you say, wow, I can go free around this this path of life, because there is a separation between what I have to take care, what is my responsibility, that it's me, and forgiving myself for what so-called mistakes and what others do, that it's their responsibility.
Yeah, yeah.
How many times we take the responsibility of others and we feel bad for things that others have done.
Yeah.
It's their problem.
Yeah.
They will have to figure out what to do with that. But taking things personally, it's, I will say that everybody does it. So on. And it's not the way we should go through life, because it's only demonstrating that we are engaging in that energy, but we don't belong to that space, maybe. Then we are getting into a war that it's not ours.
Yeah, we are greater, as I mentioned, we are greater than the sum of all of the programming that people put into us. But it is beautiful to have that conversation with yourself and that meeting and that journey of self-love. It is ongoing. It is, that is why I tell people, begin it as quickly as you can, because it's ongoing and it's beautiful. It is painful, but it's beautiful. It's the most liberating relationship you will ever have in your life as you move from one space.
Yeah, I like to change paradigms. I'm sorry to say, it's not painful.
Mm-hmm.
It's joyful.
Yes, there it goes.
Because, we keep adding energy to what we don't want. Changing is so difficult. It's hard. It's harder to stay stuck in where you are.
Yeah, it's based on your
you know how to?
Yeah, your monster that you have created. How big is your monster? Because one of mine was, because I was, and again, it was because I was brought up in this religious space, and guilt and shame was something I had to. And that was my journey. And once I realized a few things, Judith, because I began to ask those questions, I began to spend a lot of time with myself because I did not like how it made me feel. And I wanted to know. And as I had those meetings with myself and I realized certain things, I'm like, oh, I don't need that. And like you said, once you come to that place, it's like, I don't need to feel that way. I don't like it. You make that choice. I have never had that problem again. I've never had it.
Yeah.
You know?
Then it's a conscious decision.
Yeah,
it's a realization.
Yeah.
One day, something clicks and you say, okay, that's it.
Yeah. And that's exactly
And you don't know when, but it happens.
Yes.
Just keep going.
Just keep moving and keep studying. I've looked at your accolades that you've had as far as these studies, and I'm like, this is a woman that is grabbing hold of all different types of tools to help
people. I speak from experience.
Yeah.
And again, I did past life regression therapy. I did the training with Brian Wise that wrote many books, and he was the head of psychiatry here in Mount Sinai in Miami. Because I really believe that we're talking about the programming in this lifetime, but many of the things that I see that are happening in the lives of my clients are rooted in past lives, mm-hmm. then as a soul, we have a journey, and it's not only in this incarnation. You can believe it or not. It's okay. Everyone is free to believe whatever they feel it's the truth. But we are all together, we are not alone here. We carry ancestral influences, things that we have inherited, not only through the DNA, energetic influences, things that we have experienced in different lifetimes that keep adding. Mm-hmm. And here we are in this lifetime, ready to solve whatever problem that maybe we have been repeating a pattern for many, many lifetimes. Some things are very, very well rooted.
Yes.
And it takes more time. It's like peeling an onion. But you can. You can with the observation of who you are and what triggers you and the help of a professional or just using tools such as journaling and reading books and listening to enlightening teachers that are so much content out there that you can learn from. Then there are many things that you can do in this path of loving yourself.
Well, I wanted to bring you on so that people can know that you are out here in this space, because your body of work on this subject is beautiful. I think it is necessary. And everyone that is listening to this conversation, I adore and adjure you to get in touch with Judith. Find her. I'm going to provide all that information. Get into her space. Get into those private sessions. Get into everything you can find yourself in, because this journey of self-love is beautiful. It is the way we should live. You know,
I was teaching a one-day workshop, Fall in Love with Yourself, Saturday, days ago, and the testimonials of the people that participated. I mean, if you go to the website and read the success stories, what happens in your life when you get that? How your life is transformed is amazing. I mean, it makes me so happy to see what happens at the end of that day, how people start living differently. Now they know.
Yeah.
Again, sometimes you only need the how-to.
Yeah.
Tell me how to, give me the tools. Yeah. And that's what I love. And there is, self-love is such a big concept. We need two or three podcasts to continue in the topic. It includes many things. Yeah. I mean, how you respect yourself, how you take care of yourself, how you express your needs and find your voice.
Yes.
How you learn to set up boundaries. Yeah. A lot of people have difficulty saying no to others. This guilt that you were talking about.
Yeah.
Then this self-acceptance, self-appreciation, self-forgiveness all together. But you don't have to do everything at the same time. Choose the aspect that you feel it's more complicated for you.
Mm-hmm.
And just step by step, keep building that. And when you manage that, then move to the second one.
Yes.
And then go for another one. Slowly, slowly.
That's,
be nice with yourself.
Be nice.
Do it with kind.
That's what I said. Be kind and love yourself. Again, I tell everyone, all those who want to start this journey, get in touch with this woman, because this being here has the revelation. And I believe that once someone has a revelation on a particular topic, their teaching style and the energy by which they release the words and everything that they do come from a place of power, simply because it is something of who they are. And once they release that energy, it is received more powerfully and causes an outcome in many cases more quickly.
And you have to embody this energy.
Yes.
It's not something you read in a book.
it is not. You have to come to you. People have to come to you. And they have to sit down and hear, whether it's online, one-on-one, however you do those things in together. But you have to come within that energy. When you sit down within that energy, I believe that you receive faster than if you are not. But I want to thank you for coming, Judith, on Threads of Enlightenment. And it is my pleasure and honor to have you here. And I cannot wait for you and I to continue this conversation, because we had just started. This is just a little glimpse into this topic of self-love. Thank you so much for coming by.
No, thank you. The honor has been mine, and I had a great time, and I hope that those that are listening, watching, have a great time too. All my love to everyone. Love is remember who you are and all what you need, and I'm here to share it with you.
My past days, I would say, amen, sister.
Okay.